It's interesting to me that God gives us opportunities to learn lessons over again. You've probably experienced this. Something happens, and you get past that crisis or trial. And then a few months, maybe a few years later, something happens, the same thing type of thing. And you thought, well, what didn't I learn? Why am I going through this trial again? That's what we're finding in the book of Genesis. We're starting in chapter 43. Joseph has, you know, been sold as a slave, to be a slave to the Midianites by his 10 brothers. And he's gone there and been taken to Egypt. He's purchased by Potiphar, and he's raised up to rule over the house because he's so efficient, even though he's a slave. And then you know the situation, how he resisted temptation because of some lies. He is thrown into prison. And we know he's there for at least 2 years and probably several years, maybe two or three or four beyond that, earlier than that. But he interprets somebody's dreams, some prisoner's dreams, and they come true. And he says, please remember me. Well, they forgot him. The guy forgot him, but he was the butler. And finally, Pharaoh had a dream, and the butler then remembered that Joseph could explain dreams. So Joseph is brought out of prison and tells about the dreams. The dreams are going to be 7 years of good years, of where the crops are just going to become bumper crops. And then there's going to be 7 years of famine, and the years of the famine are going to erase the memory of the bumper crops. And so he's gone through this. He was 30 years old when he was raised up to be basically prime minister of Egypt. And so then it's now 7 years of the good years have passed. And now there's the 2 years of the famine have begun. The first year, it was probably then when Jacob sent his 10 oldest sons to get some food. Joseph recognizes them, but they don't recognize him. And he starts putting them to a test because he knows he was the favorite son of his father. And the brothers were jealous of him. And he had dreams and kind of told them that he was going to rule over them, and they didn't like that either. So as a result, they sold him to be a slave. They got rid of their thorn in the side, and that's what he was. The brothers did not take into account the emotional and physical toll that it would take on their father. He grieved, and he was still grieving 22 years later. Joseph was 17 when he was sold as a slave. Up to that point, he and his father, or his father, kept him pretty much at home. And he had a little brother named Benjamin. These were sons of Rachel, Jacob's favorite wife. And so now Joseph knew that he was sold into slavery because of jealousy. And now guess who would be the favorite son of Jacob after Joseph is gone? It will be Benjamin. And now Joseph is concerned that Benjamin is going to receive the same type of treatment from his brothers that Joseph did, probably despised. And he actually expects that his father is going to hover over Benjamin. The time that Jacob let Joseph go out of his sight and go on this trip to find out how his brothers are doing and how the herds are doing, Joseph never came back. You can be certain that Jacob basically did not let Benjamin out of his sight. It's not healthy for a parent to not let their children grow up. But that, in my opinion, was what was happening with Benjamin and Jacob. Now, Joseph insisted, you can go back, take your food back to your dad, but you cannot see my face again until you bring your younger brother. There's a reason for that. And to make certain they would come back, he took Simeon, the second oldest son of Jacob, and put him in prison. He bound them before their eyes to know that they would know that he meant business. They had to bring Benjamin to Egypt with this prime minister before they could come back. Well, as we mentioned last week, Reuben, the oldest son, tried to get, well, let's go back now. Let me take Benjamin back and I'll show the prime minister that here's our younger brother. And Jacob said, no way. You're never going to take my son Benjamin away, because if anything happened to him, I'd die. And so then they just went on. They ate up the food. And Jacob said, now go back and get some more food. And Judah stepped in and said, no way. We will not go back. The man made it very plain. We will not see him. We will not get any food unless our younger brother goes with us. Why in the world did you tell him that you had a younger brother? He asked specific questions. And so now, finally, Jacob says, if I'm bereaved of my children, I'm bereaved. Because he thought, Joseph is dead. Probably Simeon is dead. Everything's against me. But everything was not against him. Everything was for him. So now the brothers come, the older 10, and their youngest brother stand before Joseph. Now we're looking at Genesis chapter 43, verse 16. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to his house steward, bring the men into the house and slay an animal and make ready, for the men are to dine with me at noon. So the man did as Joseph said and brought the men to Joseph's house. Now the men were afraid because they were brought to Joseph's house, and they said, it is because of the money that was returned in our sacks the first time we were being brought in, that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us as slaves with our donkeys. So they came near to Joseph's steward and told him, Lord, we came the first time to buy food, and when we left, we found the money that we brought in the bags. You see, they thought they were he was doing this because they stole the money back, and they were innocent, and we brought it back in our hand. We've also brought more money down to buy food, and so we don't know what happened, why the money was put in our sacks. They had fears that were not grounded. Do you have fears that are not grounded? You know, they were going to be extended grace. Joseph wanted to have a meal with them. That was grace. He had no intention of enslaving them. He was going to give them a test. But he had no way he was going to enslave them. He was extending grace to them. And God extends grace to you and me. And sometimes we fear things that we shouldn't. They are fearing because they're guilty of selling their older brother, or their brother Joseph, as a slave. They still feel that guilt. So guilt brings fear. If there are some sins that you have not confessed, it's time to do so. Otherwise, God has to deal with you again and again and again until you do that. If you want to have fellowship with God, you need to draw close to Him and confess your sins. Then there can be fellowship, because He forgives the sin. Says verse 23, the steward is saying, oh, be at ease, don't be afraid. There's the calmness. Your God and the God of your father has given you the treasure in your sack. I had your money. And he brought Simeon out, the one who was captured and imprisoned. He brought him out. But notice he said this, your God and the God of your father has given you treasure. This is an Egyptian steward saying this. In all probability, Joseph was testifying. He testified. He shared at the right time with the people that were serving him about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's quite possible this steward had turned to that God, committed himself to follow that God away from the many gods of the Egyptians. So it tells us we are to be witnesses wherever we are. We're to live for Christ. You have no idea whom you might influence for the Lord wherever you are. So live your life in a way that honors the Lord and ask for opportunities to share your faith. He said, I had your money. Well, in other words, the bill's been paid. It's quite possible that Joseph was over it, so it may have been that he just said, we don't charge them. Or it's quite possible that Joseph himself, out of his substance, paid for the food that he sent away with them. But they got their money back. The man brought, so right now they are still talking at the door of the house with the steward. So he brought Simeon out. Then the man brought them in into Joseph's house, gave them water, washed their feet, gave their donkeys food. So they're being treated royally. And God wants to treat us all royally. So he says, but they, still guilty, they prepared a present for Joseph's coming at noon, and they heard that he was going to eat a meal there. Joseph came, he asked about their welfare, they gave him a present, they bowed down before him, that was a fulfillment of his dream. And then he asked them about their welfare, is your father well, of whom you spoke, is he still alive? And they said, oh, your servant, our father, is well, he's still alive. And they bowed down him again. He lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son. Is this your youngest brother of whom you spoke to me? Of course, he knew who it was. And he said, may God be gracious to you, my son. And then he lost it. He choked up. It has been 22 years since Joseph last saw his younger brother. There's 8 or 9 years difference between them. Now, Joseph, I can just imagine, when he was growing up and had his younger brother, the other brothers were older. They were taking care of the herds and stuff. Joseph stayed at home, and so he and probably Benjamin played a lot. Older brother, younger brother, they were had a good time together. And then Joseph left. Joseph was 17. Benjamin was 8 or 9 when Joseph last saw his full brother. And so now he says, this is your younger brother, God be with you. And then he broke down and he says, he hurried out, was deeply stirred over his brother and sought a place to weep. He entered this chamber and wept there. I suspect personally he wanted to rush down and give him a hug. But he had to clear some things up first. So he takes, cries it out, talks to God probably, and he washed his face, and then he comes out and served the meal. Now, Joseph is by himself, the Egyptians are by themselves, and the brothers are by themselves in this same room. The reason is the Egyptians kind of had a caste system as far as others were concerned. They were superior to the Semites. And the Hebrews were Semites. And so Joseph had to sit away because they, even though he was a prime minister, they knew he was a Hebrew. So he had to sit away from the Egyptians. The brothers were Hebrews, so they had to sit away from them. And so Joseph is separated. So that's the arrangement. And they did not have a chance to go through the buffet. They were not served. Joseph had the food at his place, and he took food from where he was and placed it on the tables with the of the brothers, placed it on the where they sat, starting with Reuben. He put a portion of food there, then Simeon, then Levi, then Judah, and all down there, and last he served Benjamin. But he didn't just serve Benjamin a portion. He served him 5 portions. Why? Well, remember, Jacob showed favoritism to Joseph, and that made the brothers jealous. So what is Joseph doing? He is showing favoritism toward Benjamin, which he knew that's what his father did. He was showing favoritism toward Benjamin to see what the other brothers were doing. Are they jealous of him being the favored son? And they didn't. They passed the test. he took portions for them, verse 34, but Benjamin's portion was five times as much as any of theirs, so they feasted and drank freely with him. Notice this, the word him refers back to Benjamin. These brothers feasted and drank freely with Benjamin. They were not jealous because he was shown favoritism. This is opposite of what happened with Joseph. So he was testing them if they were going to be jealous of him. But they know they weren't. I think, personally, the brothers back in Canaan, they had their families, and so they would eat with their families. And I don't think that any of Jacob's wives were alive at this time. We know Rachel was dead. I believe Leah was dead, and Zilpah and Bilhah. I think all were dead. And so now Benjamin is there, and I think Jacob always ate the meals with Benjamin and probably his family. He's 30 years old now, Benjamin is, so he has probably had family. And so now, but Jacob is there. So I don't think the brothers had much opportunity to have fellowship with Benjamin. Maybe I'm mistaken, but now they are. Without Jacob there, the brothers are having an enjoyable time, even with Benjamin. So now, though Benjamin received favoritism, they're not jealous. They pass this test. So, going on, Joseph told them to put the grain, fill them up with their sacks with grain, put their money back in the sack, and also put his silver cup, a special cup, in Benjamin's bags. And so then they did all that. They sent them on the way the next day. At dawn the next day, they headed out, heading home. I know they were excited because all of them were there, all 11 sons. They didn't know that Joseph was another one of sons, Jacob's sons. But they get a ways out, and then the steward goes out, probably with several soldiers, and says, "Stop them. Why did you repay good for evil, or evil for good? Why did you repay evil for good? Didn't do anything. Someone had stolen my master's cup." And he called it a divining cup. It wasn't a divining cup. It was just a silver cup. But he made it that way to make it more serious. "No. How could your servants do this? We brought our money back. We didn't steal anything. We're innocent." Well, we've got to find out. If there's a silver cup found by any one of us, let that person be killed and let us, the rest of us, be your slaves. Okay, that'll be fine. That's what the steward said. So they start at the oldest one, Reuben's. They opened up, no silver cup there. The sacks that were on Simeon's donkey. Nope, no silver cup there. Dramatically going one by one by one down to Benjamin, who's the last. And lo and behold, the silver cup is there. They tear their clothes in mourning. They load back up and they go back into the city. And they don't know what to do. We're innocent. They knew they were innocent. But what happened? And they know God's getting even. God's found out our sin and he's punishing us. And so we're your servants. "Oh no," Joseph said. "Not all of you are my servants. Just take Simeon or just take Benjamin. He will be my servant. And then he'll be my slave, and then the rest of you go take your animals and go take them to your father." Now, notice the similarity. Joseph was sold by his brothers to be a slave, and they disregarded the feelings of their father. Joseph wants to see if the same thing is going to happen, if they have the similar situation. So now Benjamin can be the slave and the brothers can go free. He wants to see if the brothers are going to abandon this favorite brother of their fathers or the favorite son of their fathers as they did with him. It's the same type of situation. Joseph is a slave, the brothers go free. Benjamin is a slave, the brothers go free. Wants to find out another test. So then Judah steps up. It's interesting that Judah was the guy that persuaded his brothers to sell Joseph as a slave. Judah also, and he's not the oldest, he's the fourth son of Jacob. And now he's arising as it, with influence among the whole rest, since he's taking this, the lead. Excuse me. So now Judah comes up to Joseph and he says, please, my father would not let Benjamin come, but I persuaded him and I said, I will be surety. I will take his place if anything happens, and you can hold me guilty forever. He's taking up for Benjamin the way he did not take up for Joseph. And so he says, here's what's going to happen. My father's life is wrapped up in Benjamin. And if he doesn't come back, my father is going to grieve himself to death. At this point, he's concerned about the emotional and physical well-being of his father, even over a favorite son. Totally different. And he says, let me be your slave and let Benjamin go back with his brothers to the father. Otherwise, my father's going to die. But I will be your slave. He was willing to be a substitute for Benjamin. Who is our substitute? Jesus Christ is substituted for us. So instead of us paying the penalty and being slaves to sin and Satan and death, Jesus is our substitute, and he freed us from the penalty of our sin. Judah is the substitute. He's willing to do something he wouldn't do with Joseph. So now they pass the test. And Joseph cries out, get out! Everybody leave us alone! So all the Egyptians leave. And that's when Joseph tells them, I am Joseph. I am Joseph. He couldn't control himself any longer. In verse 2 of chapter 45, Joseph wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard and the household of Pharaoh heard of it. Evidently, Joseph's house was right next to Pharaoh's house, and he was crying so loud, wailing, his overcome with emotion. And then he says to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers couldn't answer. They were in shock, of course. They were dismayed at his presence. They still felt guilty, and they were guilty, but they confessed their sins. They changed their hearts. They were no longer jealous of the favorite son. Then Joseph said to his brothers, please come closer. And they came close. He says, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold to Egypt. But do not be grieved or angry with yourselves. Joseph had forgiven them. Don't be grieved or angry with yourselves. Because you sold me here for God sent me before you to preserve life. Joseph was not so petty as to try to get even. Be careful about trying to get even. It's a tendency we all have as human beings. But we pay the price when that happens, because God wants to use us in different ways. He said, for God sent me to preserve. He has a big picture. And then he says this, the famine has been in the land for these 2 years. There are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth to keep you alive by great deliverance. God did it. You put me on the camel of the Midianites, but God was in control. He could see through the trials that he had that God was at work. God is at work in your trials too. Don't ignore them. Learn the lessons. Otherwise, you might get a chance to repeat the trials, so God will teach you the lessons for sure. Now, therefore, notice this. It was not you who sent me here, but God. And he's made me a father to Pharaoh and a lord of all his household and ruler over all the land of Egypt. We're going to stop here. Brian's going to pick this up next week. But what we see here, God knows how to bring us to a point to develop character qualities that we failed at before. Don't fail the tests. They passed the test when Joseph showed favoritism toward Benjamin, and they enjoyed his fellowship without worrying about who was favorite. They passed the test when they rallied around Benjamin and said, no, he cannot be your slave. Judah said, I'll be your slave in his stead. And so now they know they're all together. Joseph knows it, and we know it. Let's pray. Father, we don't understand your ways so many times, but Lord, you're at work. Help us to learn our lessons and therefore grow, that we don't have to go through all the stuff, tough stuff again. In Jesus' name we pray.